Not this one, too cold.
I'm going to call the February 13, 2014 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call the roll, please.
Ms. Lucas?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Ms. Koenig should be here momentarily, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence is not here. Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Cino's here.
All righty, we're going to move our election to the end of our agenda of officers. We're at the approval of our January 9th, 2014 meeting minutes. Just want to make one correction on the members present. Mr. Bournes was not present, but Ms. Himes was present. So we just wanted to make that correction. And with that correction being made, are there any other changes to our minutes? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'm reading it wrong.
What page?
Give me a second to find.
Okay.
Find the page, will you? I've got to find it.
There's another change.
Case number 21.
I will.
Yay.
On page 21.
That's not it.
Page 7.
Page 22. Case number 22. Page number 8.
Okay.
Page 8, case number
22? Yeah. And I think I found out the answer. I got a note here that I did get an answer, so it's fine.
Oh, okay, but the minutes are
the minutes are fine.
Okay.
There was something that I did not make sense, and I found out.
Okay.
All right. Just want to repeat the correction to the minutes. That was Mr. Bournes was not present, as he is listed as absent, but Ms. Himes was present. I just wanted to make that correction on our minutes. Any other corrections? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any members of the board need to disclose any ex parte communication? All righty. Seeing none at this time, are there any announcements? Madam Secretary?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. We do have several cases that... Can you all hear me? That are... not reflected on the agenda that are in compliance.
Okay.
We'll start with item number one, case number CEB 1013111 for 439 Auburn Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in compliance as of, I'm sorry, I wrote down March, it's February 12th.
Okay. As of February 12th?
Yes, and well, okay. Case number item number two, CEB 1013112 for Beverly Appleby, 439 Auburn Drive, Unit 104, is in compliance as of February 12th. Item number three, case number CEB 1013113 for Freehold Properties, 439 Auburn Drive, Unit 204, is also in compliance as of February 12th. Item number 14, case number CEB 011408 is for VR Pecoraro, is in compliance as for 728 Derbyshire Roads, compliance February 12th, 2014. And I think that is it.
All righty. Madam Secretary, if you could please swear in staff that will be testifying today, please.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth and nothing but the truth?
All righty. Just a housekeeping order. When you come forward to speak today, we ask that you speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. What we're going to do, we usually make way for all attorneys present, Mr. Brock, to go first, but we just have one case before your case, so we're just going to leave everything as it is in agenda. We're going to start with our lien review number one, Mr. Jackson, which is CB 0613637 Winchester Street, Charles Shea.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to approach Nancy
before we deal with the set.
Morning.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please state your name for the record?
Charles Shea.
Thank you.
Mr. Shea, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
I think Mr. Shea would be happy for me to take the microphone here. The position of staff is that we're requesting that the lien be waived. You may recall this is a situation where, although we had a little bit of time working with Mr. Shea, ultimately the result of his found was related more to the project he was working on, and the appearance of it left the whole yard looking overwhelmed and with outside storage, but it was really with more understanding of the staff that it was more of the project, the science project, and so with that understanding, the staff is waiving or requesting the board to waive the fine.
All righty. Mr. Shea, with that being said, do you have anything you want to add?
No, it's for it's an aquaponic system that's for a school project that we're working on.
Okay.
And I would further continued my research regarding that, and if the city has extra land that they're not using, maybe we could go down and provide beautification and also economic diversity and absorb some pollution from the NASCAR races.
Gotcha. All righty. Staff is recommending a reduction or an elimination of the lien. Is there any questions from the board? Chair will entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Ms. Himes for a reduction to zero of the lien against Mr. Shea. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Shea.
Thank you.
Good luck on your project. All righty, next, lien review is lien review number 20902201, property located at 606 North Halifax Avenue, Jimbro Incorporated. And I believe, Mr. Brock, what's your first name?
Jeff Brock.
Jeff Brock is here as the attorney for the respondent. Mr. Brock, we will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, I'm kind of multitasking more than I typically do here. Anthony Jackson for the City of Daytona Beach, and this is a lien review number 2, 606 North Halifax Avenue. The city is asking to reduce this to a 10%, that the lien be reduced to $440. I don't really know if there's much more we needed to say on that, but we're just reducing it to the with our typical minimum for just the officer's involvement.
Okay. Mr. Brock, any response to that?
Thank you. We're in agreement with that proposal, and we'd request that this board approve staff's recommendation of a $440 lien on this property. The lien review request shows the circumstances that my client was not aware of this lien.
Okay. Is your client able to pay that within the next 30 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Staff's recommendation is reduction of the fine to $440 payable within the next 30 days, or the fine reverts back to its current amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Brock. All righty. We will move to the hearing of our cases. Case number one, case number two, case number three in compliance, respectfully, all February the 12th, 2014. Case number five is in compliance, which is CEB 1113124 as of February 5th, 2014. Case number four, CEB 1013114, John Charles Bergendron, property located at 65 River Dunes Drive, is the respondent here. All right. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Before we do that, this officer is just trying to find someone to try and assist with a situation that happened in the parking lot. If we could just call a name and we want to just announce the name and see if this person is in the room. What's the name?
We're driving a black Lexus. You. Okay.
All right. A lot easier. Yeah, he's for number 22. Okay, very good.
All right.
Okay, now I can get that out of my mind.
Will that disqualify the board member?
Yes. Okay, back to number four. This would be before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. The pictures are showing my discussion with Mr. Fitzgerald indicates that the respondent is doing the work. He's progressing in good faith, and we're asking to amend it to the next cutoff. We expect it'll be done by then.
Before we yield to any questions, Mr. Jackson, again, you know, I don't like for our agenda to have cases we don't need to have. Is 30 days enough for this to be completed based on the amount of work done by now, Michael? Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until next cutoff, which is March 5th, to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number six, which is CB011402, John C. Windecker, property located at 533 Hillside Avenue. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This case, as well as a case where the inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. This is
just to note, we're here for a progress report.
That's what I was about to say, sir. It's for a progress report, and the inspector has indicated that the current progress is as we desire, which is that he's hired a contractor and should be getting started on the job, and it should be able to be completed by the compliance date of March 5th.
Good deal. Like, that's what we like to hear. Case number seven, CEB031336, Monica Allen Estate, property located at 915 School Street, properties in compliance as of February 6, 2014. Case number eight, CEB11131128, Luke Childs Jr. and Christine Childs, property located at 336 Fulton Street. And Mr. and Mrs. Childs are, Mr. and Ms. Childs are here, if you would come forward and be sworn in. And then we will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, Mr. and Ms. Childs. You come to the microphone, state your name, be sworn in, and give us your address.
Luke Childs is my name. That's go ahead.
Sabrina Montgomery.
Sabrina, sorry. That's right.
Mark. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Mr. Childs and Ms. Montgomery will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Yes, sir. This is before the board for imposition of a fine. The Childs have done a good job in doing everything they need for compliance. The only thing is that they're waiting for a heater to come in, and when that heater comes in, that should take care of everything. And so we're asking to just allow them till next cutoff to get that taken care of.
All right.
Both cases, so just this.
That's for both cases.
Okay. Gotcha. All righty. Mr. Childs, Ms. Montgomery, anything you wanted to add? You have the opportunity to do so if you desire to.
I'd like to thank the both for being so patient with us for doing this because they tore my house up.
Yes, sir.
Ready to talk.
Yes, sir.
I do a lot of work, and I want to thank Mr. Lopez and everybody for working with me and give us a chance to get it borrowed today. Okay. And we will get the heater and get it replaced in there. It's taking a little time to get it, but we'll get it.
Okay.
I want to thank y'all very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
all
Mr.
Right.
Lopez.
Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till March 5th to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CEB1113129. Also owned by Luke Childs Jr. and Christine Childs. Property located at 336 Fulton Street. Staff recommendation is amend our order till next cutoff, allowing the respondent till March 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Childs and Ms. Montgomery. Case number 10, CEB1113131, Mohammed Kabaze, property located at 812 Magnolia Avenue. The respondent is present. Mr. Kabaze, if you could raise your hand and be sworn in.
Can you state your name, please?
Mohammed Kabaze.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Kabaze, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Clearly, this is Valentine's week, and so we're have a heart, and we're very pleasant and loving people this week. This case is before the board for imposition of a fine, and you may recall we had a bit of confusion in the past with Mr. Kabaze as relates to the permit. Where we are now is that the permit has just been issued by the city, so we recognize that, and we're asking for next cutoff for him to come into compliance. He's indicated that he's ready and willing to do the demolition in the past, and I'm sure he's still ready and willing. So we're looking for compliance by the next cutoff.
Is this a permit that he has 6 months to do?
Yeah. Well, clarification. I don't know if being facetious, but as I said,
okay.
We will have someone speak to that so that y'all have better understanding. But all permits have a
right.
time limit, and it's a 6 months time limit. But the board has the power to give him a period to which to come to comply.
Gotcha.
A period to comply, as him being under the jurisdiction of this board.
Gotcha. Okay. All righty, Mr. Kabaze, did you want to add anything? Staff's recommendation is to amend our previous order and allow it till next cutoff.
I thank you, sir. The permit was not issued by yesterday. It was issued today.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it is.
And that's for the demo, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's enough time.
So
Ms. Himes?
We're saying that 30 days would be enough time. Does
Mr. Kabaze, just to make clear, what we're doing is amending our previous order, allowing you until March 5th, 2014, to make sure that that house is demolished, cleared, and everything leveled so that you can be signed off on as in compliance. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
20 days, so you have time.
That's fine.
All right, so your permit's been issued, and again, don't want to get into your business, but you got a contractor on hand and everything, so
yes.
You're ready to move.
Yes.
Good deal. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until March 5th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Ms. Himes.
Second.
Oh. Seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have one further question. You mentioned in a previous meeting that you had to get the power cut off and the utility. Have you done that?
It's automatically done whenever the permit is issued.
Okay, so you'll see to it today or tomorrow that gets done?
No, he can't, Mr. Harrington, just to answer for that. The power company, once the permit has been issued, all that goes into play.
They automatically cut it.
Okay, somebody applies for it, though, to do that.
No.
Yeah, it's not our jurisdiction, but it's something that goes into play when you apply for the permit.
Okay, but it was entered in the testimony here, so I hope it doesn't come back in the testimony.
Once the permit is issued, FPL or Progress Energy
will do it.
Will automatically
do it.
Disconnect it, and then that's it.
Okay.
So in fact, the permit was issued today. They'll go into the process automatically of disconnecting.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Cavazze. Case number 11CB011405, Charles E. Davis, property located at 1014 Continental Drive, is in compliance as of February 4th, 2014. Case number CB011406, Morris J. Small, property located at 1301 Continental Drive, is in compliance as of January 30th, 2014. Case number CB011407, Alvis Lee Baines, a property located at 891 East Coquina Drive, is a respondent present. Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This case is before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. The status of the property is that it's still in non-compliance. Mr. Stinson is asking for a $75 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000. And if there's any further questions regarding the case, I'll turn to Mr. Stinson to you regarding.
Mr. Stinson, has contact been made with the property owner?
Yes, sir. I have spoken with the actual property owner. Prior to this hearing, he had other violations on the property. He's corrected everything else, except for the address, except for the address numbers, exterior surfaces, and the broken windows. But he has taken care of the shed, the outside storage, the peeling paint, the exterior door. So he has done some. He just hasn't completed it. Hopefully he can get this completed before the 75 runs too long.
And he was aware of our meeting today?
Correct.
Okay.
John, do we have any mechanism where we could put the number on the house? I mean, if he's not going to do it, somebody needs to do it. And also, you know, does the city have any kind of funds set aside? Because that could be a disaster. Somebody was sick that they can't find the place. Do you have any kind of funds that could do that? Because I know in other situations where it's not talking about just the number part of it, that's all. The city has gone ahead and done that.
We can look into it.
But I'd like to have somebody who not a number on his house for years. And then it has been, something happens, and we didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, obviously, we wouldn't need his consent. But beyond that, if he's willing to let us do it, then we should. I mean, if we can figure out a way.
Does that fit into the same category as the pool stuff?
Yeah, I think that does. And but it's not your problem. It's the board's decision, obviously.
All right. Yeah,
but
kind of.
To me, it does.
Isn't that part of Code's thing? You have to have that number?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to have a clean pool, too, but a lot of people don't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and what I mean, just for clarification, when I said kind of, I just mean that with the pools, we actually pretty much have the effect of condemning because of the condition and the safety and so forth. It's a life safety situation it's arguably a life safety situation with the number on the house, but it's a different type of argument.
I just don't want somebody to come back after this board for $25 for $5 things.
Actually, three numbers, 891, or $2 a piece at Walmart.
Right,
so I don't know why. Yes, $6 plus
tax.
Well,
the address is placed on the mailbox. However, the code reads
that it needs to be on the building.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right.
So they can
find
it.
Somewhere there.
Exactly.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on the mailbox.
I can't see the address on that mailbox. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I'm better with that. No, let's leave it alone. Okay.
All righty. Staff recommendation is to fine the respondent $75 a day with a cap of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion. Effective today, yes. Motion carries. Case number 14CB011408, V.R. Picaro, is in compliance as of February 12, 2014. Case number 15CB011410, property located at 217 North Seneca, owned North Seneca Street Trust. Is a respondent present or a representative? You can come forward, sir, state your name, give us your address, and your relationship to the street trust.
Gerald McCreary, 217 North Seneca Street, the trustee.
All righty. Mr.
Yes.
Mr. McCrary, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Let the record reflect. Ms. Kundig joined the meeting. Staff.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, you may be reminded this is a case, well, first of all, this is a case where it's an imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. This is a case where Mr. McCreary had indicated he was working out something with Cookman, I believe.
Daytona State.
Oh, I'm sorry, one of those. Daytona State.
Yes, counsel.
And to this point, we, the city, has not received anything indicating the status of that. And other than that, the status of the property itself is that it's all the conditions still exist. So we're here today prepared to ask for imposition of a fine of $150 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
Mr. McCreary, what can you tell us, sir?
Okay, well, I have the contract. I emailed it to Mr. Stinson, and I have a copy of that email. I don't have it with me this morning, but I can provide the board with that email that I sent. I have a contract here, bilateral contract with the college, and a title commitment from title insurance company on that property. We're just waiting. Everything should be final now from the title company about the middle of March. So they're going to demolish the property, you know, as with all of the properties that they purchased in that area. So, I mean, I can provide you with a copy of this if I have permission to approach the bench.
Give me one second. What I want to make sure, I guess, let the attorneys review what's here to see if this is worthy of us, you know, amending our order, or if we just need to proceed. Hold on one second, Mr. McCreary. Let me just make sure.
I'd like to provide. I'd like to, your counsel to.
Are you giving the property to the school, or can I get from you?
They're purchasing it.
All right.
Yes,
when
counsel.
When is closing supposed to be?
Actually, they voted on it January 30th, but the agent put the closing date for like February 5th, and it's just too quick to do a closing. So, you know, there's some title work issues they need to work out. There's a title commitment here for you to review. So just a few things they have to work out.
Continue it until next meeting.
Okay, that's enough time.
I don't want to do is lean the property and then cause the car to go back to buy.
Right.
And then we'll go back there with nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm off
to work. Okay. So we should know something by next meeting.
Yeah, let him put it in as quick as that. He's probably proper in terms of this.
I think the board should give him some time until it close.
Right.
And then we have a new owner in front of us. What I don't want to do is leave the property and then have it called
right.
back out.
Right. And what is the closing date that is set?
Right now, the title company said for the middle of March. So I'm not sure.
So we need to move this to April. Okay. All right.
About the house itself, is it secured?
It is. It is secured.
Secured, John?
Yes, sir.
Secured. Okay.
Yes, staff agrees that it's secured. What I was asking him was whether there were any issues with the yard or anything else that at least we can manage. And if something should arise, we'll just ask Mr. McCreary to take care of that. Right now, I think Mr. Stinson indicates it's pretty much as far as from the perspective of knowing that it's going to be demolished. He's done everything.
Was this for us?
Yeah, you can have that copy if you like.
Yeah, I'm giving it to you, Amy.
Let's give it time.
Okay. All righty. With the facts being stated, Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 2nd, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Just in case if there are any questions, the set closing date is March 15th, which is after our next cutoff, so there's no need of us setting a deadline before the cutoff that is actually set inside the contract. So that was the reason I decided to go to April instead of March, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, just one other clarification. Mr. McCreary has made them aware. I just wanted to make sure he states on the record that he's made them aware of the code action. So if they should elect to do something other than demolish, that need to remedy the code situation. And you have made them aware of the code.
I will let the listing agent and I'll let the other selling agent know. I cannot
You have to have communication.
I'm a licensed real estate broker,
okay, I got you.
And I cannot have contact.
Okay,
I understand. Ethical, but purposes, but I will email him, and I will email Mr. Stinson on that.
You understand statutorily there's a presumption of fraud if there's not a notification of the code action, so you want to make sure that happens.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
All right. I'd like two things. Number one is make sure the residents stay secured, and for some reason if the deal is to fall apart, it could come back to us in March. I want to wait till April if the deal falls apart.
Okay. All righty.
If the deal closes and the new owners don't demolish it, it'll come back to us again.
Right. They'll have to notify the new owners.
Yes, and then they'll have to issue a permit. So,
but I would say if the deal doesn't close for some reason, we don't want to let it sit there. Forever.
Right. Yeah, it's back to us in April if it doesn't close.
But, however, I don't know. I kind of lean the direction of the concern that, or at least the expression of Mr. Sino, in that it is somewhat of an eyesore. So, if something happens prior to the next meeting that results in it's not going forward, that Mr. McCrary let us know, and if we have the time to get it on the board, we'd like to.
We would like a status update at our March meeting with a compliance date for our April meeting.
Yeah, just a report. How about that? That would sound
fair. That's fine. Okay.
All right. It's just not mandating him to come back. If you get something to Mr. Stinson and double check and make sure he received it, then we can be able to report that.
And that's something, Mr. McCrary, you can communicate via email with Mr. Stinson. You don't necessarily have to physically appear yourself, as long as that communication has been.
Just let us know the status.
Okay, just email him, so I don't need to be back. I don't need to come back next month until April.
If it's done and over with by April, you still don't have to be back there. It'll be in compliance. All right, Chair, did I do a motion yet?
Okay.
Let's restate it. All righty. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent till April 2nd, 2014 to bring the property in compliance with a March 13th update via staff as to the status of the closing of the sale on the property or be returned to the board in amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till April 2nd to bring the property in compliance with a March 13th status update to the board. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, not to beat this to death anymore than it's been beat, but just after hearing you say the motion, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear. If for some reason Mr. McCrary knows that the sale isn't going forward, that I would like him to come to this meeting so he can tell us what's happening, what he's going to do next.
Okay, if it doesn't go forward,
right, you need to be here
for the 13th, for the March
13th meeting. Board meeting.
Okay.
To tell us what's going to
close apart before
right.
It's still closed.
Oh, okay. So if they back out of it or something.
If closing's on the deal. I mean, closing's still on the table. You let them know over there. We're still We're working towards closing. Everyone's fine, and we're waiting on it.
Okay.
But if there's no more closing because the deal fell through, let us know that so we can start making a plan for getting the property remedied.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCrary.
Thank you.
All righty, moving on to case number 16 of our new cases, case number CB021414, Susan B. Hancock, property located at 533 North Keach Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This property is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. The report from the inspector is that they are working on it, but one of their problems is they need permits. They're working without them, and they had an issue regarding an eviction, and that's been resolved. That's been done. That's a question to the inspector, and the inspector indicates an eviction has been done. And so we're requesting that they be found in noncompliance and given until next cutoff to come into compliance.
All right. Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till March 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there a license in there? All righty. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 17CB021415, Samuel Kent Harkness. Property located at 424 Wisteria Road is in compliance as of February 4th, 2014. Case number CB021422, Zachary Vangenhoven. Property located at 247 Brookline Avenue. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This case is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance regarding no permits for a driveway. The inspector has indicated that they were working on it. The workers were informed that they had no permits. Apparently, the inspector observed that and informed the workers. He's not had actual contact with the owner. However, we did notice the owner appropriately pursuant to the requirements of law. And so this board is requesting, the staff is requesting that the board find them in noncompliance and give them until next cutoff to come into compliance.
All right. Any questions from the board?
Yes. Was there no stop work order or nothing?
There was no stop work order. The gentleman I was trying to explain to give it a permit, they didn't speak English, and they told him that they were going to get the owner coming down, and he never did. So I just issued a violation.
Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till March 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB021423, Astrid Jaroslaw and Stephen Jaroslaw. Also, JTRS, property located at 823 North Peninsula Drive. See, someone's coming forth. Sir, if you could come to the mic, state your name, your relationship to the owners, and be sworn in.
Yes, sir. I'm Yaroslav Stefan Cole. The names are too long. They don't fit on there.
Okay, you'll have to state your
sure.
name for the record, please.
Sure. Yaroslav Stefan Cole, JAROSLAWSTEPHAN.
You're the second one.
Yaroslav,
yes.
Your first name.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mr. Cole.
Yes, sir.
That would be working.
Yes,
all righty.
That's me.
What about the Astrid
part? That's Frau Schenenberger. She shares a house with me.
Okay.
Her name is also long.
Mr. Cole, if you could, you've stated your name. If you could give us your address and be sworn in, please.
Yes.
Raise your hand, please. Yes. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
823 North Peninsula Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32118.
All righty, Mr. Cole, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
This case is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. The violations that are shown remain except that the permits have been applied for. And so we're asking for the board to find the respondent in noncompliance and give them until the May cutoff to come into compliance. And I also request that that we amend whatever style or notice we have on the to show the name properly.
Gotcha.
For the cases.
Okay.
Well, I guess it would be names. I believe you said both of them are on the property.
Okay. Mr. Cole, you can come on up, sir. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
Staff's recommendation is to give you until April 30th to bring the property into compliance. Is that enough time?
I believe so. Just depend upon weather is the only concern I have.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the board? He asked for the May cutoff, which is actually April 30th.
Okay.
Hoping to get clarification one more time about the correct names.
Okay. So Mr. Kowal, if you could please give us the correct name so that can be reflected in the record.
Most certainly, sir. The first name is Astrid. That's the first name.
Okay.
The last name would be Schoenenberger.
Okay.
And then my name would, my first name would be J-A-R O-S-L-A-W. Middle name Stefan, S-T-E-V-H-A-N. And the last name is Cole, K-O-W-A-L. That doesn't fit on anything.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion, find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB0214. Thank you, sir. 16 HFDB LLC is in compliance as of February 5th, 2014. Case number 21 CB021417. Halifax Professional Building Condominium Association is in compliance as of February 5th, 2014. Case number 22.
I would ask if we would, if we could pass to 23.
All righty. Case number 23 is CB021421, Hometown Housing, property located at 529 South Street, number 2. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
The this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Eddie Lopez. As indicated, the violations are as noted, which include infestation of smoke alarms, interior surfaces in disrepair, damaged windows. This is a rental property. The staff is requesting that the board find the respondent in noncompliance and give them till next cutoff to come into compliance.
Any communication with the owner?
That would be on the 10th.
Okay. Is there a, just making sure that the owner has been notified, I guess,
yes.
Is the address different on
yes,
property, so on and so forth?
They
okay.
signed a certified mail.
Okay.
Just haven't made contact. I did speak with the tenant who made the complaint.
Okay. All righty. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion.
I just have a question. Is that an older building or a newer building? I can't tell. I mean, how old is that building? Do you know it? I mean, just ballpark it for me.
The building is probably in the 40s.
Oh, so it's an older building. I can't tell from looking.
Yeah, it's a
okay.
Single-family home that was grandfathered in for a duplex, I guess.
Okay.
And it was approved for that.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion, find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till March 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington.
No.
Vice versa.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Do we need to move on before we come back to case number 22?
Well, that was the question. I'm not certain if this is going to be a time-consuming case or not. We did have the anticipation of hearing from permits this morning. Mr. Garrett was going to come up or is planning to come up. He has an unexpected meeting that he has to rush out to over at Speedway.
Okay.
And so he was wondering if he could have come up earlier because it was what time he had to be to this meeting? He has to leave by 10:15. So we have a couple of things we can do. If we can take a 5-minute break and we can run down there and grab him, or we can just push it to another time as far
as if someone can go get him, we'll go ahead and go back to our elections if that's okay.
Oh, great.
Okay. All right. Somebody going to get him?
I don't know if anyone. You may get on the guy.
Cell phone?
Yes, we'll work on getting him, and
okay.
If we're not able to get him, then we'll.
All right. We'll move back on our agenda to the election of officers. As you all know, it is that time of year where we need to elect a chair and vice chair. And so to make things move expeditiously, we'll open the floor at this time for nominations for chair.
I would like to nominate Mr. Brown to continue as chair since he's shows that he can handle power in a very significant way and would be delighted to have him continue.
Any other?
I second that.
All righty. Well, hold on. Any other nominations?
No, for,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any other nominations for chair? All righty. Am I legitimate to close?
You move the nominations be closed.
All right. Move the nominations for chair be closed.
So moved.
All right. There a second?
Second.
Seconded. Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. All righty. Well, there's only one candidate, and I do not object. All in favor of Mr. Brown remaining as chair, please respond by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. This would be too much fun if I said aye, huh? All righty. Chair will open nominations for vice chair at this time. Any nominations? Nomination of Ms. Kundig. Any others? Any other nominations? All righty. Chair will take a motion to close nominations for vice chair at this time. Motion made by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Himes. All in favor of Ms. Kundig being elected to remain vice chair, please respond by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Congratulations, congratulations, Ms. Kundig. We'll not have any acceptance speeches.
Can we expect some kind of a nice party with donuts and coffee?
Absolutely. I will bump it up to 2 bottles of water per meeting.
Oh,
how about that?
Much.
I'll use my power to do that.
Oh, is that what the deal is?
While we are waiting, did you all have business with us today?
They're number 20.
They're here for 20. They're here for 22.
And Mr. Garrett is on his way, is what we've been I've been informed.
Okay. All righty. Mr. Bryan, it's good to see you, sir. Thank you for attentively watching our meetings each time.
Now a little tap dance.
They were just waiting. Mr. McCreary already
came up. All right, Chair, we'll take a 5-minute recess at this time.
Going to reconvene
our February 13th, 2014 board meeting. Case number CB021420, Baycare Organization LLC. And
Mr. Brown, you may recall I brought Mr. Garrett up, so we'll be able to take him before we moved on to the next meeting since he had to leave early.
Oh, okay. All righty. What was the case?
Well, remember we announced that if we can just move on into the miscellaneous business and then we can come back and handle that case if that's okay from Mr. Sino. We had announced at the previous meeting there were a number of questions about the process with permitting and amount, what they're telling people and that type of thing. And so I assured you we'd bring someone up from permitting to speak to your concerns and any questions you may have had. And so Mr. Garrett's here to do that. And I'll apologize for him. I mean, he expected to be at the end of the meeting and give you as much time as you need. He does have now an unexpected meeting he has to run off to. But address as much as he can with you until he has to go.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Mr. Garrett.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So I guess I'm here at your pleasure, so I'll try to answer the questions the best I can for you.
Well, I can just remind everyone, I think it started with the question of, and one certain about what the permitting staff were telling people when they obtained a permit in terms of time periods. And whether their question is the potential that there's a conflict in what's being said to them from staff downstairs and what they're ultimately obtaining from or being told from the code board or from code staff in terms of time periods. So that was the first question.
In essence, we were wondering if there could be a linkage. An example. If a case is before us today and we tell them they have 30 days to come into compliance, they go downstairs and apply for a permit, which gives them 6 months. Sometimes the respondent is thinking they have 6 months versus the 30 days that we have actually given them. Even though they have 6 months according to the permit, they only have 30 days from the code enforcement board. Mm-hmm. So we're wondering if there was a mechanism that is in place or could be put in place so that when our orders go in, staff is able to acknowledge, even though you're applying and the standard issue time is 6 months, you only have 30 days, you only have 60 days to get this done. Is there a mechanism that could be put in place? Thank you, Mr. Jackson. I think that was the summary, if you will, that the board wanted to know if we could have that answered.
Is there a way for you to know that? If we give a 30-day notice, That doesn't go to you people, does it?
That's correct. And I will tell you that Hector and I have reached out to bring this together a little bit more. There is a big missing link, if you will, for the process. Under the Florida Building Code, they do have 6 months to do the project. And again, there's projects that last for years under mm-hmm. that permit. Let's go back to the LaPlaya case, if you folks remember that case mm-hmm. that we had come before the board. That is a great example of the board and us working together with code saying, look, you know, building official, is this appropriate time for them to get the work done, the 30 days, the 60 days? There was a series of time frames that we put in that project for them. So to make this come together, if you're going to give someone 30 days, then maybe we need to be involved mm-hmm. and say, is that going to be an appropriate time frame for them to mobilize, get the construction completed, whatever the issue may be. And we'd be more than happy to be here and to assist on those cases. But you do have that power. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but if you throw them in 30 days and that's what it is, then we need to be knowing that too.
Once it's under the jurisdiction of the board, then their authority has the power to penalize if they don't do what they've told them to do. And the only question is, are they getting reasonable time? What we believe, the code staff believes from their experience, having dealt with the cases, and when they have a question, if it's construction matter, their ability to go and make communication with permit staff, that they can reasonably give you a reasonable estimate of time. However, it would something you just said, Mr. Garrett, which would be of a real good point, is if there was the availability of having someone from, because unfortunately the time issues come up. We're not able to necessarily always foresee a debate or question about mm-hmm. time. So if there's someone that could be available from permits that could be at the meetings, that may be helpful. I understand the staff limitation, so I'm not trying to press that, and I don't know if this is what the board wants. I don't think they have the authority to demand it either. But you know, if it's available, that may be one of the ways that the staff can, well, the board can feel more comfortable about being satisfied. Now, saying that, I'm not speaking past the confidence of the staff. I think the staff has done a tremendous job in the time period they give, and they've been reasonable that if it's been determined that the time period wasn't adequate, that we acknowledge that when we know it, mm-hmm. we acknowledge it, and the board handles that appropriately. So.
I think the chair said it best. I think the thing that I've seen here once was that when we send them, they have to get a permit. When they go down there and get the permit, they look, wow, I got 6 months. But we've only given them, say, 2 months at most.
Right.
And then they really feel relaxed. I think something needs to tell them when you give them that you have to get this permit. But this permit is only for 30 days. It has to be completed.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that's what they're trying to connect here.
I don't know if it's any language on the permits themselves, but what if you had some letter with some aspect of a disclaimer just specifically for owner pulled permits? Because the sophisticated contractors should know. There's no good reason for the contractor to act like they don't know that if a board told them they had to do something, they have to do it. But the problems I think that we've seen are with the owner pulled permits, mm-hmm. and you know, they read what they have and it says we're good. Why is the board bothering me? I'm doing just what the permit said to do. Mm-hmm. I'm taking as much time as the permit allows. So what if there was like just another sheet that went there that said, if you have a code for enforcement case, you shall abide by, or something like that?
I guess if there's any pending code enforcement matters with you, that takes precedence over the timeline of permits?
The thing is, the timeline for the permit, the expiration period doesn't change just because of the code action. Even if y'all ultimately penalize them and fine them and the fine is running, they still can continue to work if they have a permit.
Right.
And they still need to complete the work within the permit time, or then the continuing work now is work without a permit in addition to whatever other problems they had.
Yeah.
So the permit is still good. So I don't want to leave, and I guess that's
right.
some aspect of the confusion, that it's not, what y'all are telling them really doesn't have anything to do with the expiration of time of permits.
Gotcha.
It's just what y'all are telling them is the expiration of time for you guys before you're going to penalize them. And so with that being the situation, that's what they have to be able to absorb and know, that this time I'm giving you is the time, if you don't do it by this, which is what you say in your order, every order says it, you know, do it by this or you're subject to a fine from the board.
But yeah.
Like you say, if there's a sheet or something that's down there,
right.
It's not only our board, maybe the planning board, a variance board, if there's any, you know, type of violation of penalty of
and can we clarify our rulings, which I think are perfectly clear, but maybe just add this work needs to be done in 30 days, the regardless. Amount of something to what
well, we say that,
and regardless of what the length of the permit is, yeah, something like that. So, I mean, I think our rulings have been perfectly clear, but these.
Well, I don't think people are perfectly clear that the code board has more say. I mean, the average person, the code board has the final authority on code issues more than the building department does. I think that's where the confusion comes in.
Or maybe
they believe, well, you know, they went to another place, you know, in this building, and they said, you have 6 months, and we said, because they don't understand. We just need to make it clear that this is the authority.
It may be a paragraph that we just add, you know, to the applications. If you have a pending code enforcement matter against you, that timeline supersedes ours. Something.
Right. Absolutely. Right. And everything you're saying is right on, and I couldn't agree more. You know, a lot of times when the applicant or the violator, if you will come to the counter, they don't tell us that there's a code case. And, you know, again, we're working in our system to raise a flag, to flag that parcel, to say, hey, wait a minute, you need to look into this before you issue the permit. So that's our first step that we're working on. And, again, we can put conditions on those permits. You know, we can put language right on there. The paragraph is a great idea. We're aware of the problem. And, again, I think pre-meet would be a good time, too, to say, hey, Mike, building department is 30 days long enough for them to repair this. Well, no, they really need 50 or whatever the case may be. And we could hash some of that out in a pre-meet before it gets to you folks.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's
well, good to do.
Any other comments, recommendations from the board?
Just want to find out, what is a turnover rate, turnover in terms of getting a permit? How long does it take to get one in your department?
It really depends on what it is. I mean, anything from a fence to a sign to a condominium. I mean, it really depends. You know, for a re-roof permit, for example, it's 1 to 2 days. You know, a sign, 3 to 4 days. A fence for a homeowner, we try to turn that around in 3 days as well. So it depends.
Garage sale permit, 15 minutes exactly.
Well,
good.
We appreciate it.
Sure.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for getting me in.
Okay. Tony, before you start, do you happen to have the article with this next case is the land development code, whatever the law is? Do you have it? Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jackson. I totally forgot we wanted that to happen, and thank you for making sure that it did. All righty. Moving back to our agenda. Case number CB021420, BayCare Organization LLC and Unique Tax Refund LLC. Is a representative or the respondent present? If you could come to the microphone, state your name and your relationship to the organization, be sworn in. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mario
Mr.
Cooper.
Chair, I'd like to recuse myself from voting in this case because of about personal matters.
All right. All right. Let the record reflect Ms. Kundig will be recusing herself from the vote on this matter. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Mario Cooper, general manager. Unique tax refund.
I didn't hear that.
Mario Cooper, general manager, unique tax refund. Will anyone else be testifying, Mr. Cooper?
No, I'll do everything.
Oh. You can state your name.
Akin Bakari, for our Bakari organization.
And, can you both raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yeah, I do.
And neither one of those gentlemen are going to be testifying today?
No.
No?
Okay. All right.
Question.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Beccari, Mr. Cooper, we'll hear from staff at this time, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Thank you. Well, I'll start by just making sure you, everyone is informed of the law, including me, because I'll be speaking to the law, including the respondent. I'm sorry, I didn't do one per board member. I just did a
gotcha.
Packet.
Okay.
Printing from home laser. This case is before the board for imposition of a fine. And the inspector is Eddie Lopez. And the violation, as indicated, is prohibited off-site postings of signs and window signs. And the reason it's before you as an imposition of a fine is two reasons, which are both are, which is highlighted on some of the case law that I've given you. You can see there in the ordinance, the Land Development Code, Chapter 6, it tells you that certain signs are prohibited in all districts, and off-site signs that contain messages not related to the site or advertise goods, products, services, facilities not available. And that's what we're alleging here. The reason it's before you for imposition of fine, as I said, there are two reasons. One is because...
Mr. Jackson, just want to let the record reflect that Mr. Borns has entered the meeting. Give him a moment to get settled in, and then you continue. I didn't want to interrupt you. Sorry about that. Mr. Borns, we're on item number 22 of page 6. Mr. Borns, I'll pass you my extra copy. We're on item number 22. All right. Sorry about that, Mr. Jackson.
Okay. And just for the board's information, I was just inquiring as to whether there wasn't any intent to oppose the finding of noncompliance, and the respondent was telling me that they did not intend to oppose that. However, obviously, there was some discussion regarding our request for fines. So I won't belabor. Just make sure you're fully informed of what the perspective of staff is on this. This is before the board as a repeat violation, first of all, and because it is a repeat violation, the Florida statute allows you to consider it. And I believe I provided you with that information as well. And in fact, during this period when it occurred previously, we have the minutes from that meeting, and that those minutes will indicate that it was a period when we were still doing wolf fines. Mm-hmm. You may recall I've changed the language, but it's still the same effect, saying that. But this was a point when the magistrate wanted to make it absolutely clear that should you be returned for this violation, again, you'll be subject to a fine per occurrence of up to $5,000. And actually, he may have announced, and I'd have to look to see, that it would be up to $15,000. And the reason he would have announced that is because this, we actually have two issues. Not only is this a repeat violation, but the magistrate had made a finding at the previous event that it was irreparable and irreversible. And we would ask the board to make such a finding today as well.
obviously when someone is out advertising, that's something you can't undo or erase. And all of the benefits of advertising, that's being done unlawfully or improperly, and that's what the sign placement all over the place is, then, again, it's something that can't be repaired. So in that regard, we would ask that you make that finding that it's irreparable and irreversible. The basic testimony of the inspector is that he went out and, that he went out this time, and based on a previous event, which, and let me make clear as well, the previous event was an event where both the owner and the violator was present and were both given the notice of repeat violation and the effects of that. The circumstance, as reported by the inspector this time, is that he made contact with the tenant and informed them that they were in violation and set up for hearing, which is consistent with what the statute permits and even requires. And even after making contact with them, which doesn't matter, the fact that they put them out is the issue. But even after making contact with them, they remained and continued. And ultimately, the staff had to go up and pick up throughout the city, littered throughout the city, 150 signs. Ultimately, the activity stopped. But as I said, the whole intent of this ordinance is one to prohibit this littering of signs throughout the community, but also it's an unfair advantage of one business to be able to go and do that over all the other businesses, and it's irreparable. Once it's done, it's done. Once it's in the mines, it's in the mines. And ultimately, yes, we removed them, and they stopped putting them out. We would presume that ultimately the owner made it clear. The effort at the previous meeting was to make sure the owner understood that that was his burden and his duty to ensure that if for some reason this was violated, that he worked that out in his contracts with his tenants or whomever so that it would be handled appropriately and the effects of a fine would be something that they'll have to deal with. On a previous case, it was egregious enough that the imposition of fine was $100 per occurrence for each fine, for each sign in the world.
Ten.
Oh, it was ten. I'm sorry, it was $10 per occurrence, and it was
683.
Thank you. I'm not reading. I'm trying to remember. So it was 600 something signs, and it was $10 per sign. The staff is requesting, with this being a repeat violation, and the perspective of staff is that indeed this is egregious. This is something that was made clear, absolutely clear. And so the staff is requesting a fine be imposed of $150 per occurrence for the 150 signs that were removed by staff. And I think I have a total here of $22,500. And we'd also ask for a $500 administrative cost for the work of having to remove those signs, which would result in a total of $23,000. And we would note for the record that the prior fine of, and I know I was thinking $7,000, I was remembering the administrative cost that was added as well, but the prior fine is still outstanding and that was never paid. So,
$23,000. Staff's asking for $150 per sign with also a $500 administrative fee, bringing the total to $23,000.
That's correct.
Any questions of staff?
Yes, if there's a
Mr. lien. Harrington, move up closer to the mic, please.
If there's a lien for unpaid fines, who does it go against? The owner?
It goes against the owner. And so we made sure that the owner was well informed previously to make sure that this did not happen.
Okay. Mr. Beccari and Mr. Cooper, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Some of them, but
I want to make clear that with our company, we hired an outside marketing firm, and they come from another city. And we told them to try to stay outside the city limits. Not knowing the city limits, at the first, I think the first time they came around, they put them in Daytona not knowing. But we told them to go outside the city limits, but I guess they went to the Derbyshire area, and they didn't know that was still inside the city limits. But when we made it clear to stay outside the city limits, they went outside the city limits.
Okay. So you acknowledge that the violation did occur. All righty. Staff's recommendation.
Can I make a
statement,
please?
Yes, you can speak.
Excuse me. I do agree with everything obviously the inspector said.
Your name?
I do agree with everything the inspector said.
Your name?
Oh, Akin Bakari.
Mr. Bakari, okay.
Obviously, I've tried my best, obviously, to talk to a tenant, and I realize, obviously, this is a tenant that I probably, unfortunately, if I use this word, a bunch of clowns going around and doing whatever they think they could do in every city. And this, obviously, this was informed to me last year. I've repeatedly spoken to the tenant many times. Obviously, what I find is they change their name, obviously, in the process, and without telling me anything, just maybe to try and avoid the fine. The tenant, obviously, is sitting out here with a red tie, and I guess I don't know why he's not talking, and he has his manager talking. But what I think obviously should be done in here, even though I'm responsible for some of this, but I think basically what should happen is the city should probably take the business license away from the client, obviously, which prevents the my tenant from doing business in the city of Daytona. And I guess after that's done, maybe this will obviously solve the problem, because I think this is something that's going to continue. And obviously, I've looked at all my lease, and I realize it's a little bit difficult to try and evict him if he's paying rent. But obviously, there's no clause in there about violation of city rules. But obviously, we see the city rules have been violated the second time. And I think the city's responsibility to at least probably take his business license the way, you know, for us to probably get this resolved in a better way. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I speak towards that?
Yes, sir.
I have something to say about we don't run around like we're a bunch of clowns. Two, I mean, there's a lot of things we do in this community with the city of Daytona, with the leisure services. We support baseball teams. The summer program, we pay for all their field trips. We pay for their meals. We do a lot of things in the community because we live in the community. I live in the community. So to say that we want to blatantly disrespect the Daytona, that's not what we're doing. We know the money that we make, it goes right back into the community. Now, it was a violation of everything. I understand that, and we're going to own up to that. But we don't just run around and do what we do just to because we're a bunch of cowboys or something like that. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
You told this consulting firm go outside the city limits, and you told them the reason was it's against the law to place these signs?
Yeah, we knew. We just told them not to be in Daytona. Of course, they're coming from Orlando, and some of them speak English very well. And, you know, it was a communication breakdown.
Okay.
Communication breakdown.
This might be out of range. Are there other cities where they're placing signs that may have similar laws?
Well, we have seven other offices across Central Florida, so we have been marketing in those offices and in those cities. This is the only time we have to go in front of a board.
Okay.
In Daytona.
Just thinking you may come up with some other cities, because I saw your signs plastered all over private property in another city the other day.
Well,
and the right-of-way, public right-of-way. So maybe they don't have a law there. I don't know.
Okay.
If you're aware that this is, I think you need to check out each city individually so you don't have to wind up in front of each code board.
Yeah, we're still young and we're still learning, so thank you.
Mr. Cooper, give me 1 second. Mr. Cooper, what is your relationship to Loan Buy Sell Inc., DBA, LBS Tax Services?
I was employed by them.
Is this the same company under a different name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you all were brought to the special magistrate in February of last year for the same violation, nothing was
That's why when we got the marketing firm, we told them to stay out of the city limits of Daytona.
Nothing triggered to make sure they understood
well,
that they needed.
Well, me personally, we try to communicate that, and we thought we communicated it pretty well. But we also have seven other offices that we try to run, so okay. I'm not on top of it like I should be all the time.
Okay.
And I apologize to the board for that.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to leave you to ask the questions. Just wanted to point out one thing and speak with my supervisor of code that I've been advised that snipe signs are unlawful in every city in the state of Florida, throughout the state. So avoiding Daytona Beach doesn't. But I mean, the real point I want to make is that, one, it's still unlawful, and two, even in those other cities, they need to recognize that the violation in this city will make them subject to a repeat violation regardless of where the person is staying.
Well, in other cities, they allow us to go pick the signs up, so we go pick them back up and we put them back out. That's what they do in other cities.
All right. Any other questions from the board? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Sorry, Mr. Bakari.
Yes, thank you. Obviously, because this obviously affects me in a way, and I think if there's a board will consider probably a reduction on the fines, in whereby I'm willing to probably pay for the pickup service and administrative services, which obviously limits the fees to, I don't know, $500 plus whatever.
Yeah.
Can I just repeat that again?
Okay. I need you to speak a little slower, Mr. Bakari, and a little louder.
Okay. Obviously, this affects me, obviously, financially, obviously. So what I'm thinking of doing in here is I know, obviously, this cost the city of Daytona a lot of money to pick it up and to go through this back and forth, which has been going on for the last year and a half or 2 years. I think if the board would consider a reduction on the fines to just the administrative fee and the fine recommended, which is $500, and I'm willing to pay that, and the idea that the rest of the fees should be probably, I guess, forgiven or whatever the city will do. And at that point, what I'm going to do is now take an effect to pretty much get the eviction process started, because I think that's the only solution to this at this point.
And Mr. Bakari, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You're asking this board to reduce your fine,
to consider
a reduction of your fine.
Correct.
To just $500 for the administrative fee, which you paid $985 you were fined $985 for the administrative fee last time, which has not been.
The tenant promised to pay, and he said he was going to pay. Obviously, I know that's a lie. I'm going to be realistic and tell the truth, because I don't think that at any point the tenant is going to pay any fee. So that I'm going to tell the truth right now. He's not going to pay anything.
But as the property owner, you realize the responsibility is on you. Just want to make sure that's known.
Correct. I've tried my best, obviously, and I realize the only choice that I have now is probably just an eviction notice. That's why I'm recommending if the city would take the business license away. Obviously, that's
not something we can entertain here, sir.
Correct.
We can only deal with the idea with the matters before us, and that is for a repeat violation that, as you've reflected, that you are aware of and that you knew was occurring and that you understood your responsibility
My responsibility has been to obviously inform the tenant, and I've done my best. At the beginning of this year, I seem to have known this was going to happen, and I spoke to the tenant repeatedly so many times and said, oh, no, we're not doing anything wrong. Obviously, the tenant is obviously not following the rules at all. If he'd following the rules, this would have never occurred. I own many other properties. Obviously, this is the only one in the city of Daytona. In the state of Florida, I've never had any issue. Unfortunately, it's not been a strip mall. It's always been medical buildings. But obviously, this is an issue that I have repeatedly here. He's the only tenant in that complex that's had the same repeated issue. There's been tenants there for the last 20 years that have known about the property.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other questions from the board?
Mr. Picard, are they still your tenants?
Mm-hmm. As of this moment, yes, but obviously the process has already started. I've already called the lawyer, Daytona, to start the process of eviction, because that's the only choice I have.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Staff's recommendation with this matter being a repeat violation was for $150 per sign staff recovered, 150 signs in the assessment of a $500 administrative fee, bringing the total fine to $23,000. Was my math correct, Amy?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I think the $150 would not have to make that the finding of fact. irreparable for the $150. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. That would be the finding of fact as it relates to
right.
So you, what you have
right. Yeah. The understanding is that you would have to. They're asking for an additional that this was irreparable, which allows you to go higher with the fine. But what they're asking for, you don't have to do that if you don't.
Because right. Yes. And I just want to make sure the board
indicate that it was a repeat violation, but not that it was irreparable.
Right. Just so the board knows, that is staff's recommendation. We don't, you know, we, whatever fine we desire to impose, that is left up to us to impose that fine.
And if I can clarify, the issue regarding the irreparable fine is that if you make that finding that it's irreparable, that what the statute provides, and I've highlighted in the statute that you have, that the fine based on our fee structure would be a maximum fine of up to $15,000 instead of up to $5,000. Which again, recognizing the significance and the severity of irreparable and irreversible events. That's highlighted, I think, at 162.09, I think, on that one, I believe, is why I highlighted that.
Okay, let me just ask a
150 different separate instances as opposed to one.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and let me make sure I got that clarity, Mr. Sino. Our code allows us $5,000 per occurrence.
Yes.
And each sign is an occurrence.
That's their argument. We don't have to
right.
Though, but that's their argument.
Okay. All right. That's the board, just to make sure that's the matter, if you will, before us today. If we want to consider each sign an occurrence or the violation itself as an occurrence.
So you can
and
use one occurrence. You don't have to make that. You don't have to be 150 occurrences.
Right.
You have that option.
Right. All righty. Again, staff's recommendation was for $150 per sign, and they're viewing each sign as an occurrence with a $500 administrative fee. Before we hear any motions, are there any other questions of staff or the respondents?
Oh, I would like to point out, I don't know, I realize that everyone has a packet, and I don't know if they realize that the minutes from the prior meeting is the
right.
First two pages of that packet.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you want to review. No, those findings have been made in the past, so just for your consideration.
Mr. Cooper, what concerns me is I do have this packet. You are at these meetings, evidently, in person. You are told not to do it the first time around. Was there doubt in your mind after the first time that you could still turn around and do it again?
Oh, that's why when we did hire the marketing firm, we told them to stay out of the city limits of Daytona.
But do you follow? Are you... Surely, in order to pay them for their services, you have to know what they're doing.
Well, we have a manager that a new manager that we hired for this site here. So he was in control of that, and you know, I guess I didn't micromanage him like I should have.
Okay. What I'm saying is, when you, as a citizen, when I drive around, I see signs. By mattress, the mattress is the latest one. They're all over. You can't not see them. So how did you not see them?
Well, because I haven't really been based in Daytona.
Oh.
We've been starting up other companies in other cities.
Well, the second time around, you knew they were doing it anyway, and now we're at the third time. So I find
it's the second time I've been here.
I thought you had two hearings. Isn't this?
A
lien review. Okay. Window signs. All right. Okay. At any rate, we're here again.
Yeah.
And it's.
Any other questions from the board for staff or the respondent? All righty. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Himes.
I'm reading fast and slow here. They work before the mattress.
Yes. In February 12, 2013, they went before the special magistrate. And the special magistrate's ruling was a fine imposed of $6,830 as well as $985 for administrative fee to be put in place. That was the fine that was put in place.
Okay.
And according to Mr. Jackson, it has not been the fine has not been paid.
That's correct. I believe it's
the right. Okay. But that was the order from the special magistrate.
So the fine was never paid. I think that's what he was saying.
Right, more or less. But again, you know, for the matter before us, that was the fine that was put in place by the special magistrate of $10 per sign with a $985 administrative fee. So, all right, any other questions for staff or the respondents? All righty, chair will entertain any motions at this time. With the respondent acknowledging that the violation did occur. I just wanted to make that fact.
I would like to motion not $150 per sign. Will we not go back to the $10 per sign?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, whatever motion you want to make, Ms. Hines.
I would like to make a motion to apply $15 per sign.
$15 per sign, any administrative fee?
And the administrative fee.
Of the $500. All right, Ms. Himes, motion on the floor to fine the respondent $15 per sign at 150 signs, Amy?
$2,250.
Plus the administrative fee of $500. Making the fine total $2,750. Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Any other motions? Yeah. Ms. Himes, would you restate your motion? So we can get some business done, I'm going to pass the gavel. If you'll restate your motion.
I thought you refused to.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
But I passed it to.
As the vice chair.
She is the vice chair.
She is the vice chair.
Oh, I've recused myself.
The senior member. Who's the senior member?
Mr. Bourne.
Mr. Bourne's. All righty. Good to bang the gavel today. How about that? All right.
What senior member?
I could accept her motion with a higher amount, $15.
Well, you can ask her if she'd take a friendly amendment. So we
Would you take a friendly amendment?
Give her the figure.
Of $50 a sign.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Only for a matter of speaking, Mr. Bourne's is our acting chair at the time. The matter before us, Ms. Himes, will you restate your motion, please?
Okay. I motion that we impose a fine of $15 per sign plus the $500 administration fee.
Bringing the total to $2,750. I'll second.
Is there any discussion on the motion?
Well, voting no means that I don't approve of the thing, but if it passes, it's just the same as if I had. That's the problem with that thing that bothers me. I would like to see this. Then let's. I would like to vote on it now and see what happens.
It's just par for the course. What you can do is you can make a motion to amend. We get a second, then we have to vote on the amendment first.
Right.
If you want to do that, Mr. Herring.
All right.
Any just.
No, hold on. If you want to make a motion to amend her motion, you can do that once.
I would like to make a motion to amend it, the fine to $50 and with the $500 sign, $50 per sign.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Discussion?
Amy, if we can get some totals.
It would come up to $7,500 with the $500 administrative fee. It would come out to a total of $8,000.
Thank you.
Any more discussion?
Now you're going to take a vote on the amendment.
All right. All those in favor? Opposed? Same sign?
Nay.
Motion passes.
No, roll call vote.
Pardon?
Roll call vote.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Lucas?
No.
Ms. Kudak abstains.
Also, can you speak into the microphone, please, so we can get you on the record? Thank you.
No.
Ms. Hines?
No.
Mr. Brown?
Yay.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
And Mr. Bourne?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-2 for the $50 per day plus the $500 administrative reversal of $8,000.
$50 per sign.
Sorry,
gotcha.
$50 per sign.
All right.
Vote on the motion as amended.
Just for clarity, the motion that is...
I'm not chair. You can take the chair back. You can take it back
now. Okay. All righty.
Take it back.
All right.
The motion as amended.
Gotcha. All right. Therefore, the amended motion passes. The motion before us now is to find the respondent.
The amendment passes.
The amendment passes. So, therefore, the motion before us now is to find the respondent $50 per sign for a total of $7,500 for the signs plus a $500 administrative fee for a grand total of $8,000. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Oh, well, go ahead and go with the roll call vote. Ms. Lucas?
Aye.
Ms. Himes?
Aye.
Mr. Bourne?
Aye.
Mr. Smart?
Aye.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Chair voting in favor as well. Motion passes. Just so you're aware, Mr. Beccari and Mr. Cooper, what the board has done is we have fined you $50 per sign. Staff recovered a total of 150 signs. That total is $7,500, as well as $500 for the administrative fee for a grand total of $8,000 for the violation. Mr. Jackson.
On behalf of the staff and the inspector specifically, that wanted to make sure the board understood that they vehemently object to the lesser amount, understanding that it's just slightly more than what they were they paid for the previous violation and not escalating. Which they did not pay.
Gotcha.
Right.
Thank you.
Just make an objection for the record.
Objection for the record.
I said, but I didn't get it.
They didn't like what we did.
He was just letting us know they were not in favor of our actions.
Okay. All right. But he said he didn't get the other. Yeah. He didn't get
That's
it,
not
but then
part.
He paid it.
No. Neither fine has been paid.
The old fine wasn't paid?
No.
It's all right.
All right. Okay. Thank you all. All righty. Any other, now that we've exhausted our agenda, any items for miscellaneous business?
I have a question. Where do we go pay fines?
You can speak with the secretary here and she can let you know. No, actually, we're finished with your matter, sir. Yeah.
Not right. No, you need an actual invoice to be able to pay it because they don't come downstairs. She has to
If you want to make sure she has the correct mailing address and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're going to close the meeting anyway.
Yeah, we're done.
Any other any items for miscellaneous business to be considered from staff?
No. Congratulations to Mr. Brown as the board chair for another year, and Ms. Kundig. And, sorry about your morning start, but all right. Congratulations.
Any miscellaneous business from the board? We'll start to my right, Ms. Lucas. Ms. Himes? Okay, Mr. Bourns?
Nope.
Mr. Harrington?
I've exhausted my agenda.
Gotcha. Mr. Smart? Ms. Kundig?
No.
Mr. Sino?
No, thank you.
All righty, none from me. We are considered ourselves adjourned. See you next month.